Good morning, and greetings to each one. When we think of Henry Ford, most of us automatically think of the Model T, that icon of early American motoring that he developed a little over a century ago. But did you know that the Model T was not actually the first or only car being developed at the time? In fact, several years before the first Model T hit the streets, men were already designing, driving, and racing cars at up to 90 miles an hour. For Henry Ford, the racetrack was a laboratory, the place where he tested his design, figured out the strengths and weaknesses, and worked to perfect them. On one particular race, in August of 1905, Henry Ford traveled to Cape May, New Jersey. It was a big race. All the big names in automobile racing were attending. Henry sent his race car by train, and he drove a touring car to get there. Unfortunately for Henry, the race didn't go well. According to some stories, they were racing on the beach, and according to some accounts, his car got hit by a wave during the race. In any case, he lost badly. Even more unfortunately, it seems that he was depending on the winnings from the race to pay his hotel stay. So he found himself out of money, as inventors were wont to be, and with a bill to pay. Well, in hunting around Cape May, he came across a local businessman named Daniel Foser, who agreed to pay $400 for his hotel stay and possibly trip home as well, in exchange for keeping the touring car. Now, it's unclear whether he was selling him the car, whether the car simply stood as a guarantee for the loan that Dan had given him. For our purposes this morning, we'll call it a loan. And the car stood as a guarantee. A guarantee, according to the dictionary, is an assurance that an obligation or contract will be fulfilled. When we give a guarantee, we're promising that we will follow through with our promise and that the rest will follow. Other words that we use that have similar meanings include a deposit, a security, pledge, down payment, collateral. If you go to the bank and take a loan, they will usually want collateral, something that can stand good for your loan if you aren't able to pay. Well, in the past several years, I started to become aware of a deposit or a guarantee that Scripture talks about that God has given us. And I'd like to look at some of those scriptures this morning. First scripture is from Ephesians, and I'll read all of mine from the ESV. Don't be too distracted by the red marks to begin with. Ephesians 1, 11 to 14. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So I'd like to pick out two words in this passage, and both of them refer to functions of the Holy Spirit. The first word is sealed, and the second word is guarantee. Now, the ESV says guarantee, the NIV says deposit, and the King James says earnest. So they all have similar meanings. But first, let's look at sealed. The word, it says here that we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. The word means to stamp with a signet or a special stamp. It's like when the king had his own signet ring, and he would stamp documents into law. Everyone knew that's the king's mark. Our king has a stamp too, and he stamps his followers. We read about that in Revelation, where it says that God sealed those that were his own. And here it says that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is God's stamp of ownership on believers' lives. It's as if God is saying, this is my son or daughter. Keep your hands off. So first, the Holy Spirit seals us, marking us as God's. Secondly, it says that the Holy Spirit is a guarantee. Now you can look at the red marks. We'll see that it says the Holy Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance. And he had talked about inheritance way up here, but now he says that the Holy Spirit guarantees it until what? Until we acquire possession of it. And so it's like the deposit that I was talking about. It's a down payment. It's a promise that the rest will follow. The Greek says it's a pledge, that is, a part of the purchase money or property given in advance as security for the rest. It's a promise that the rest of the payment will follow. We could say that if Dan Foser ever wondered if Henry Ford would be true to his word, he could look at the car and remember he's got collateral sitting here. He's got a reason to pay. There are several other scriptures in Corinthians that use very similar wording to the one in Ephesians. 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22. And it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. 2 Corinthians 5, 4 and 5. For while we are still in this tent, we groan, being burdened, not that we would be unclothed, but that we would be further clothed, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. He who has prepared us for this very thing, for the life, to swallow up the mortality, he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So the Spirit's guarantee is guaranteeing that that life is coming. There's one more word in Scripture that I'd like to highlight. As these ideas were coming together, I started to see another word that Scripture uses in a parallel way, and it shed new light on it. That word is first fruits. In the Old Testament, God told the Israelites to bring the first fruits of their harvest as a sacrifice to God. And I tended to think of that simply as the best. And it may hold some of that connotation, but I think it might mean, more literally, the first. They were supposed to bring the first part of their harvest before the rest was harvested, and it was an act of faith saying that they trusted that God would provide the rest. You see how this connects with the idea of a deposit? It's a token in anticipation that the rest will follow. Scripture does actually make the connection clear for us by using this same word in referring to the Spirit. In 1 Corinthians 15, 20 through 22, it says, But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the firstfruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. So Christ's resurrection was the first, the little bit, well, it's a lot, but it indicates that there's more to follow. It's the confirmation that more will follow. And just recently in our Sunday school, we studied in Romans 8. 8:22 through 23. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. So the Holy Spirit in our lives is the first fruits. It's that foretaste of heaven, we could say. It's a little bit that indicates there's a lot more coming. It's just a little bit, but it is here. And Scripture tells us why it's here. It's here to guarantee to us that God will keep his promise in our eternal inheritance. Well, as the story goes, Henry Ford never did come back for the car. But he made Dan Foser the first dealer for Ford. And the car that had stood for collateral spent years in the show window of his dealership. Praise God that we also have a deposit of the Holy Spirit in our lives that guarantees that God will fulfill his promises to us. The Holy Spirit, first of all, seals us, showing all of the world that we belong to God. And secondly, it guarantees to us that our eternal salvation is coming. Let's kneel in prayer. Father, this morning we are grateful for the promise of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, the guarantee of your promises to us. Thank you for his work in our lives, convicting us, drawing us to yourself. And Lord, at times we're not even aware of the Spirit. We don't realize how much we rely on you. And at other times it becomes obvious, whether it's through our interactions with those who are clearly not filled with the Spirit, or whether it's times when you choose to reveal yourself more fully or more supernaturally. But we thank you for your faithfulness in our hearts every day, whether we're aware of it or not. We pray that you would lead us in making our hearts a pure and holy dwelling for you. We thank you for your Spirit's presence in our worship service this morning. I pray that you would lead each Sunday school class now as we study your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.